VentureCast.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
So that other one, the next to last one, it's a Southern, it's either Mojo Nixon or Flat Duo Jets or Reverend Horton Heat. And I don't know which one to pick.
Choose Reverend Horton Heat. He's the only one I've heard of.
All right. I think that was Reverend Horton Heat.
15 for 15.
Yes! Yes, baby!
Unbelievable. Wow.
50 years of music with 50-year-old white guys.
I am so excited to be here with you tonight in the, I guess in baseball parlance, this is the podcast that's in the hole. And then the next one is on deck, and then the next one's like the one at bat, right? Like, we're almost done with season three. Is that not baseball parlance?
What does in the hole mean? What are you talking about?
That's the hitter that's not on deck is in the hole because they're in the dugout waiting to go on deck.
Thank He's you. Totally yeah. right.
Isn't everybody in the hole? They're all in the dugout.
But they only refer to like, because you have to turn to the guy who's up third and be like, hey, meathead, you're in the hole. So he knows to get ready to go on deck.
Yeah, he knows to get ready. So
look at this baseball information.
And this is
so
actually,
who's doing fantasy baseball this year? Did anybody get talked into it?
No way. No way.
My nephews, Gus and Teddy, texted me like, please join my fantasy league. So I did like 15 minutes of research and I have a team.
Oh, okay. So if my nephew asked me, I would do that for sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
I told you I got my nephew into my illegal NFL gambling pool, right?
Yeah.
Did you really?
So fantastic. Oh, yeah, totally. And my brother is a much more serious and useful person than I am. And so his son's now a graduating senior. But I got him sophomore year. Maybe even his freshman year in high school, he loves football. And I was like, dude, I've got this NFL pool and you pick every game against the spread. It's $100 and I'm going to spot Dexter and he's going to pick it against the spread. And my brother was like, aren't you just training him to gamble? And I was like, oh no, I'm training him not to gamble. Because when you pick every game against the spread, you quickly learn how hard it is and you never put real money down.
So true. So true.
I did pretty well in our first informal league. And like, you know, I don't know if readers know this, but we had a little informal three-team pick against the spread. And I came in a very strong second to Uncle Ben. Because Tim kept being like, wait, we have to pick again this week? He kept missing like the first six games.
I'm not sure what you're speaking of. But anyways, welcome to 50 Years of Music with 50-Year-Old White Guys. Tim, Jeff, and Ben on duty tonight, bringing you the final road trip podcast. Our musical road trip is going to wind up here in Seattle, where we desperately need a cup of coffee. So this is quite great. I've got two things I got to say. Ben Barton, can we do a shout out to your brother? Because the Plain family's spring break road trip brought us to the Legacy Museum. Montgomery, Alabama. We went to the lynching memorial in Montgomery, Alabama. Absolutely spectacular. Just stopped us in our tracks. And your brother had a hand or something in that.
Yeah, totally. My brother is a museum exhibit designer by trade and runs his own company. The biggest best known thing he's ever done is the 9/11 museum. But the Legacy Museum in Montgomery, he worked closely with Brian Stevenson and he designed all of the exhibitry there, along with Brian's work. So, and it's a fantastic museum, super powerful. I haven't been to the Tulsa Museum he did yet, but he's done the Black Wall Street Black Massacre Museum in Tulsa, and that's supposed to be just lights out as well.
The Legacy Museums, there's a certain room that just brings you from abduction to enslavement to torture to segregation to mass incarceration. And it's like, all lined up for you. Like, you connect the dots quite easily about America's relationship with race in that one long room. I thought it was spectacular. Really well done.
Oh, yeah, man. It's so badass. Brian Stevenson, who's the lead guy of that institution and that place, is a lawyer, famous lawyer, Yale law professor, and civil rights lawyer. And he was like, instead of putting that museum in D.C. or in New York, he put it in Montgomery, Alabama. Yeah. And he was like, I want school kids all over Alabama to come here and see this.
Yep.
Like, I want this to be in my hometown. So fucking amazing.
Yeah,
Brian, I've seen Brian. I saw Brian talk twice live within 3 weeks of each other randomly because I went to an event and then he was the NAIS keynote. And I saw the exact same speech 21 days apart. And both times I was like, this is the best speech I've ever heard in my life. Like the second time was almost better than the first because I knew the moves that were coming and did not disappoint.
No notes. Just.
I would second that for sure. If you get a chance to see him speak live, it's absolutely jaw-dropping. We have the great good fortune. My colleague Penny White, who's a big death penalty abolitionist person, is really good friends with him. So he's coming to speak at UT two different times, and I've had lunch with the guy. Like, he's a fantastic guy.
Super.
Awesome. Yeah, he seems like he's a... I mean, I talked to him for like, 8 seconds while the line behind me swelled to 2,500 people. But I got my licks in. He sounds like a really good dude.
Well, great trip. Then Montgomery on to New Orleans. The World War II Museum was spectacular. Did a nice jazz tour of Treme. I mean, we did it up. We did it up right in New Orleans. And New Orleans where I saw, Chartable.com charts every podcast in the world. And so I get a weekly update from Chartable.com about how our podcast is doing. And it's starting to break it down, not just as a podcast as a whole, but specific episodes. And I saw when I was in New Orleans that our San Francisco episode was the number one music podcast in America. And I said, what? And it didn't, because I could see, I didn't have my glasses on, but I could see number one, and I could see music. Like, it didn't have music history, it just said music. Like, this episode this week was the number one most downloaded podcast in America. And so I scrambled for my glasses to make sure I saw what I saw. It was number one and it was music, but it wasn't America, it was Armenia.
Again, almost there.
But still, like, the number one music podcast episode for the week. In the lovely country of Armenia. America, you're next. That's what I have to say. I was like, oh my God, I can retire. This is gonna be bad. All right. We're in Seattle.
Lovely.
This is it. I'm so excited. This is our arrival song, and I'll explain why after the screaming trees crush it.
Did you hear the distant cry calling me back to myself?
All right, we got to talk. I have never been to Seattle. Have either of you been to Seattle, Washington?
We have been to Seattle together, Ben and I have.
Man.
In fact, yeah, we had more than once, in fact, potentially.
Yeah, totally. One of India's very best friends in the world and from college, and her husband, Jill, and her husband, Dan, live in Seattle. And so when we lived in Arizona, and then since, we visited there multiple times. It's a fantastic city. Can't sing its praises highly enough.
And in fact, I took B there for a little Daddy B week trip when we shared a spring break that Suze did not. And we stayed at a downtown hotel and went to the Space Needle and the Experience Music Project and ate great food. I totally agree with Ben. I love this town. Always have it. And Adam Wiseman, the mighty drummer of the Rich Price Band and Waffle Barrel, lives in Seattle. And so I get up to see him not infrequently for old men who stay in touch. So,
and dude, now I have the funny thing where my daughter goes to college in Portland. So I've actually been to Portland, Oregon, I don't know, 6 times in the last 3 years. And I freaking love Portland too. Both of these towns are fantastic.
Portland's a great town, man.
I have some sad news for you, Timmy, that we picked the wrong time of year to come.
Oh, yeah? Yes.
Rainy and cold. Dude, so India's friends live in Seattle, and we were living in Phoenix, or like in Tempe, Arizona, basically. And so we went several times, like early fall, late spring, when that's bright blue sky, and you can't believe how green that place is. And if you're coming from Arizona, where it's like you live in a hairdryer, like it's all moist. And there's just life everywhere. They call it the Emerald City for a reason. Like, it's just like verdant, green, beautiful. Like, you can actually picture the trees that used to be there that were like, you know, so wide around. They take up a city block because just anything would grow there. It's just so beautiful and rainy. So when it's sunny, it's fantastic. Dude, so one of the times we came to visit, I was like, I will go visit her on my birthday. So we went November 5th. And I was like, what in the hell happened?
Yeah,
post-apocalypse here.
It's a very different.
I've played a couple of just banger gigs in Seattle. The Rich Band had just a sweet show up there. I just love that town. One of my favorite Seattle memories, by the way, was playing Monopoly with Ben in Seattle. We had one of those like epic 9-hour Monopoly games, but one of Dan's friends made the mistake of dropping by during Monopoly. He's like, "Okay, I'll play around," and he rolled 6. And hit one of the blue ones. I don't remember.
No, he got a railroad. I remember this entire story really well.
Oh, I thought he got like Connecticut Avenue. No. I'll pass.
He was like, the railroads are weak. I'm not going to buy it. And he hadn't played with us. And so I was like, really? Like, you're just going to like accumulate as much property as you can? Because if you don't have any property, you're not going to be able to trade. And he was like, I'm telling you, the railroads never go anywhere. Oh, and also he was a Yale law student. So this is part of the reason why I hated this guy so much. Such a douche. He just thought he was so much smarter than all the rest of us. So, dude, I was literally like, chump don't want no help. Chump don't get no help.
Ben was like, okay, but you're going to be out of the game in like less than an hour. And he sure was. He was sitting on a chair watching us play Monopoly for like 5 hours all glum because Ben had like burned his ass out of the game in like 6 trips around the board. It was amazing. It was so great.
Chump don't want no help. Well, I'm missing out then. I have never been to Seattle.
Oh, you got to get up there, man. It's
I got to do it.
You'll love it.
My daughter Martha was just there for a big ultimate frisbee competition.
Oh, nice.
The Pleiades went there. I said, well, what's it like? What was your impression? She's like, we're walking through the hills and there are trees and there's the water. And I look up over the city and there's this giant puffy cloud. And then I realized, oh, that's a snow-covered mountain. She said it was like the most dramatic.
Oh, dude, the mountain there is unbelievable.
Mount Rainier, man.
Yeah.
Really great.
Jill got her her teaching master's and I think maybe a doctorate at UW. And she says that at UW, they call it the mountain discount because as soon as you see the mountain, it's so unbelievably beautiful and they offer you less money and you stay.
Yeah. I also did – I spent a whole week on the island that's right off – Seattle at a conference 5-6 years ago, and that's freaking beautiful.
Oh,
too.
Yeah, all of that stuff is amazing. Yeah, the San Juan's been out there.
It's great.
Well, I'm so
we should come here more often.
I'm so glad we have these experts here. We're gonna have no problem banging out fun facts about Seattle. Jeff Simons, the population of the city.
For God's sake. City proper, I'm going to say Seattle's pretty spread out as a metropolitan district. So I'm going to say 1.25 million.
Oh, Timmy, I get to guess, right?
Yes, you do.
It's well below that. Do I also get to do the metro area or no?
Sure, go for the metro. Go ahead.
All right, so the metro area is big. The metro area is 4 million. But the city is like 800,000.
How much?
800,000. The city's tiny.
No, it's over a million. Come on.
737,000 in the city of Seattle. 4 million in the metropolitan area. But Ben, we're going to test your geography here now.
Oh, all right. Don't call it a comeback.
And it's your geography vocabulary. Seattle is situated on an isthmus.
What is an isthmus?
What is an isthmus?
It's my favorite. an isthmus is like Florida upside down, right? Isn't it like a little pokey thing that goes out?
A Florida upside down?
It's like a little pokey thing. It's not an island. It is connected at one point, but it kind of pokes out into water.
Good. That would be a peninsula, whereas an isthmus, it connects on both sides.
So oh, all water right.
On both sides.
God. I like it. Very nice.
Isthmus. Well, let's get to the compilation. I think it's
time. That was quick. Two facts. He had two facts.
For sure. He didn't like it at all. He didn't like my isthmus answer at all. I thought he was talking about Ish Smith, the NBA player.
Oh, yes, exactly.
There is a Seattle Supersonics portion of the. Actually, before we get to the compilation, no going on the Google, but start percolating in your head movies and TV shows set in Seattle.
Well, I thought that's why we started with The Screaming Trees, because of Singles, the movie of our generation set in Seattle in the apartment complex.
I started with Screaming Trees because that was the Seattle sound for me. And I know it was Nirvana, I know it was Pearl Jam, but that song knocked me out. And I listened to it today and I started crossing the street. And I swear to God, it was 1991. It was that's so amazing. It's in my ears. And I'm like, no time has passed since I was crossing the street in Boston to this moment crossing a street in Nashville. It was incredible.
Wait, you're from Boston?
And okay, I was wearing flannel just for fun.
All right, here we go. You ready, Ben? We're going to crush this.
I'm sorry. 15 songs. I need you to get 12.
Just 12. I'm going all confident. Wow. I knew so much about the city center. Here we go.
Okay.
Tell y'all, seen her yesterday. I was feeling down, but I came to Seattle and y'all turned me on.
Talk to me. We got some bussin' ass marks out here.
Oh, I know this one.
Me too.
Sell out. Boy, this is the SEATOWN. Forever. C-Town.
Yeah, and that's from the motherfucking heart. So if you ain't down with your hometown, step on punk. Mix, tell these fakes what the deal is.
I was raised in SEATTLE, Seattle.
Yell out the name of your hometown. Miami, guess the crowd. L.A., guess the crowd.
Seattle's full of coffee, Boston's full of beans, and America is hard to see. It's hard.
People flock like cattle to Seattle. I pick a cabane.
You're in trouble, Tim.
Put on your yarmulke. It's time for Hanukkah. The owner of the Seattle Supersonicas celebrates Hanukkah.
I don't like a bagel. I stay with that on like a lightsaber. Shout to my ex, I'm a lightsaber. My Glocky is sitting on the night table. You light on the waist at
a
light
table. Choice.
In Seattle, it's just me and twins. I hate you, boy, more than I ever did.
Told me a pick up down from Seattle.
The blue pilot man in Seattle never lives on white collar street.
But that watches us. And the nurse just went south, and my friends all went after Seattle.
Ah! It's all
West Seattle hardcore. If I'm going on facial expressions, I am in trouble. But
there's a world in which we run the table on this one.
Oh, crap. All right, let's go to commercial.
We might
first.
Go 15 for 15.
Commercial first. It turns out the torture basement is my torture basement. All right, and we're back. You guys are feeling good. Let's go one at a time through the torture basement.
Okay.
And you can skip ahead when you're there.
And then if you know it, to say it.
I don't know the song. Yeah.
This is Alicia Keys, is it not? Let me
tell you. This is Alicia Keys.
See, now yesterday I was feeling down, but I came to Seattle and y'all turned me on.
Talk to me.
That's what I know. Sure mix a lot.
That is Sir Mix.
Boy, this is the SEATOWN. Forever. C-Town. Yeah, and that's from the motherfucking
home. So if you ain't down with your
hometown, step on punk. Mix telly.
I loved when he was on the Real World Seattle.
I was raising SEATTLE, Seattle.
Yell out the name of your hometown. And I recognize his voice, do I not?
LA.
This is Vanilla Ice.
It is Vanilla Ice.
Oh my God. Wow.
And this is John
Seattle's
Wesley Harding.
Seattle's full of coffee busters.
This is John Wesley Harding.
In America, it's hard to see.
Singer-songwriter.
This is Robin Hitchcock.
Yeah. It's coming to town. Pause that song.
Yeah.
Have you seen the cover that he did for that song?
Have I seen the cover?
Yeah, he's hilarious.
Have you seen the music video? Yes, hysterical.
No, the album cover is him swimming in a pool like the Nirvana
band. Oh, yeah. Yeah, naked. It's really great.
Same angle.
That's hilarious.
Creature for a dollar bill. I died laughing. I'm sorry. Okay.
All right, next up is Adam Sandler.
The owner of the Seattle Supersonicas celebrates Hanukkah.
7 for 7.
This isn't Drake.
I think it's Drake, yeah.
It is Drake.
I-D-F.
That's Neil Diamond.
Should not get this, but yes it is.
Dang it. The blue should not guess. Kenny Rogers.
Dang it.
Never lived as a white collar street.
And that's Craig Finn.
Not the whole city, this is one of them, right?
Craig Finn Soho. Soho Preludes, I think. And this, from their eponymous 1973 album, is Kiss. This is Mudhoney.
This is Mudhoney.
So that other one, the next to last one, it's a Southern, it's either Mojo Nixon or Flat Duo Jets or Reverend Horton Heat. And I don't know which one to pick.
Choose Reverend Horton Heat. He's the only one I've heard of.
All right. I think that was Reverend Horton Heat.
15 for 15.
Yes! Yes, baby.
Unbelievable. Oh.
Jeff, that was all you and very impressive.
The voices are so distinctive. Like, I don't know those songs, but I know those singers. Like, it was
Kenny
fascinating.
Kenny Rogers, though. I thought he was, like, just young
enough.
Dude,
if it hadn't have been for the We Are the World documentary, I never would have gotten that. But, like, his voice is in my head from watching that.
By the way, Timmy.
Yes.
How could you not do Owl City, Hello Seattle? How is that possible?
Wait, what is it?
The Owl City?
Play a few bars.
This must have been that your girls must be too young, but this was a gargantuan hit in our house.
Yeah.
Huh.
Second.
Didn't know that one.
Managed
the
only
one that
same
I was sure we were going to get. We were going to get the Perry Como Seattle song. I had that one locked in. I was waiting.
I looked at that.
Of my seat.
I didn't even have time to research potential Seattle numbers. I got totally lucky on the voice recognition. I can't believe I got Vanilla Ice on a song I had never heard. I don't know what the hell that is.
That was a banger. That was called Dancing by Vanilla
Ice.
Oh,
nice.
Sure.
Using
as
the
one
dancing
does.
Machine, yeah.
As one may.
All right. Well, you've mentioned Singles, Jeff Simons, a classic movie of our young adulthood. We're playing categories. So you two are going back and forth. To stay alive, you have to name a TV show or a movie set in Seattle. Why don't we pretend Jeff is gone first, right? He said Singles.
That's fine.
So
yep.
Ben, it's your turn now.
Yeah, Jeff's going to kill me. Sleepless in Seattle is a fantastic movie I really like.
Excellent.
Yeah, I'm out after that. I can't think of a single.
I got another one.
In Seattle? No. The one that Ted Knight did after the Mary Tyler Moore Show. Too Close for Comfort.
Nope, that's actually, by the
oh,
way,
that's
San
Francisco.
San Francisco,
shit.
You are buzzed out.
I'm out on that.
Timmy, I'm pretty sure Frasier is
yes.
set.
Of course. Oh my God, I'm so stupid.
I mean, golly, you did not do well, Phil. So
what else you got?
Frasier, Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, yeah.
10 Things I Hate About You.
Really?
Say Anything.
Say Anything. I'm an
that.
Idiot.
That's an iconic one.
I would have accepted War Games.
That's not acceptable.
50 Shades of Grey and Harry and the Hendersons.
I'm okay with
well.
Missing all of those except Say Anything. That's just like I lose my Gen X card for not remembering Say Anything.
Seriously.
Good Lord.
All right. Well, if we're going to talk about Seattle, we got to talk a little bit. Oh, are you doing your?
I'm holding a boombox for those of you listening at home.
As I recall, you picked In Your Eyes. I do love that song. Yeah,
I do. I love that song.
All right. Favorite Seattle Supersonic. Here are your choices.
There's only one choice.
Jack Sigma, Dale Ellis, Detlef Schrempf, Sean Kemp, Gary Payton, or Xavier McDaniel? What do you got?
Xavier McDaniel's an easy one.
Yeah, I was going to say, you dare diss on the X-Men, to quote the movie Singles.
Although Mookie Blaylock is another good one.
I know Mookie's pretty sweet today. Did he ever play for the... He played for the Nets.
He
never played for the Supersonics.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think maybe he was... Well, I don't know.
Xavier McDaniel's star turn in Singles was it made the movie.
Oh, dude, his star as a New York Knickerbocker made my 90s. Like, he was so fantastic.
I saw Detlef Schrempf play in the Olympics when he was Germany's only good player, and he was awesome.
I'm sure.
Yeah, really.
It was really
good.
Something else.
All right. On to coffee and Starbucks. 22% of all sales at Starbucks. Are this drink? What is that drink?
The Four Buccaccino, to quote my friend Ben. That's one of my favorite things he said about those places when they first started to proliferate.
That's a great line.
It's like the Frappuccino milkshakey stuff. Like that's all they sell is sugar drinks.
So 14% of their sales is the caramel macchiato, which I think is what
you're referring to.
But they're lattes. 22% of all sales. Anyone know their least popular item?
Well, they've got a puppuccino for the dogs. And then they actually, weirdly, they have a ratuccino for the animals that live in the kitchen. Yeah. For the vermin. That's not very popular, though.
No, I don't know. What do you got?
It's actually the espresso con panno. Apparently, they put a shot of espresso in a cup and they put whipped cream on top of it. Yeah. No one buys that, apparently.
Apparently, they don't do that very often, though.
Well, the whipped cream is all gone bad. All right. It is time for Seattle's favorite son. It is not Ben. I'm sorry. I know you're planning on Kenny G. But Nirvana actually outsold Kenny G. And Jeff's got us hooked up with what?
I'm doing a live song from Nirvana. It's the kickoff song from Live at Reading, which is just a blazing live show. So instead of Smells Like Teen Spirit or one of the big hits, probably everybody listening to this knows the song too, but they just absolutely murdered the
stuff. Did you guys heard about Nirvana before you heard about Pearl Jam, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
And what do you guys remember first hearing Smells Like Teen Spirit? Do you remember the buzz about that?
I remember vividly driving home from, I was my first year at Branson. I'd just gotten the job and I had gone in the city to a party and I was driving home listening to Live 105 and Smells Like Teen Spirit came on and I almost drove off the road because it was all the music I had loved in the 80s had finally crossed through. And like all that kind of American hardcore guitar sound was now on mainstream radio. And I thought it was freaking awesome. And then I'll totally admit that Nirvana was never my band because I was always either in a grumpy, like, I liked them when they were called Husker Du. And then when Kurt killed himself, it took me decades to forgive him. I was so unbelievably mad. I know we've talked about this before, but I was furious with him for doing it.
Dude, I was also really, there was like a legit feud between Pearl Jam and Nirvana that was Cobain. And Cobain,
totally. It was one directional feud. He was
Cobain was like,
about it.
You know, grunge has been ruined by phonies like Pearl Jam. Like, he actually physically came to those guys. Yeah. So, and that was not, I was not a fan of that either.
Yeah. Me neither. I mean, also, like, we've talked about this before, but like, for a guy who hated being famous, he sure was on the cover of Rolling Stone a lot.
Oh, yeah. Dude, whereas, like he's going to lecture somebody on authenticity. Give me a fucking break.
Yeah. Totally. There we go. Okay, so we're not totally over it. That's awesome. But those two records have aged well, especially the second one, In Utero, has aged really well. That is a really interesting sounding,
you'll still listen compelling to it record. Every once in a while.
Well, yeah. I mean, when a song comes on, I listen to it. I really do love the sound, but I don't know if I've ever put on a Nirvana record and made it all the way through. Like, I'm just having a listening experience with them.
Oh, but you have with that the Reading show for sure. That Reading show,
totally. It's blazing. So good God!
Hey, what's it's either the last song or the second last song. It's that Territorial Pissings where you go to the Star Spangled Banner at the end.
Yeah,
That'll lead into your pick of Hendrix. But I mean, he does this like off key version of the Star Spangled Banner, and then drops the guitar and all the feedback comes. So good.
Yeah, so it's great. And there's a video of it too. Like, they're just completely unhinged, like playing. It's right before they go completely apeshit famous in America. So like they're still hungry and they're so thrilled to be playing at a big festival in England with like where all their heroes played. Yeah. And like it catches them. It's just like that ascendant spark moment before they get jaded. It's amazing. Yeah.
Well, Ben Barton's been doing this podcast thing for a while, looking in with his transitions, looking out for the podcast here. So we're going to say goodbye for now. It's the end of part one, and we'll see you next week when you pick us up for part two of Seattle, where Jeff will go first.
Today is working for me. Do you believe that for yourself? Hey, I'm Pastor Julie, and I want to empower you through encouragement. Inviting you to my podcast, Big Truth Encouragement, where I unpack living a faith-filled life. I created my podcast for the ladies, but gentlemen, you'll gain something too. So I invite you to listen to Big Truth Encouragement on Electricast and any platform where you listen to your podcast.
Electricast.
Miles, are you ready to record our promo for season two of the WannaBet podcast?
David, have you ever seen a grown man naked?
Miles, we're not here to quote lines from Airplane. We're here to tell people that season two starts August 18th.
But I like Airplane.
I know you do, but WannaBet is a sports betting podcast. Each week we bet $1,000 on the NFL teams and games that we love.
Well, that sounds like fun.
It is fun. And last year you picked over 60% of your games correctly.
How'd you do?
We're not talking about that. We are telling people that they can find us every Friday. No more movie quotes.
Roger, roger.
Electricast.